한 원, 예원, 포, 예원, 통세, 포, 아멘. There's a story of a young boy, as we say in Armenian, charu, charajiji, naughty, and mischievous. That's a good one. Mischievous boy, who never likes to go to bed on time, and he likes to drag the process out. So one night, his father says, it's time to go to bed. Go to bed. And he does his usual thing, brushes his teeth, changes, gets into bed. But he tries to make, again, as I said, the process very long. And so about 5 minutes later, he yells, Dad, I'm thirsty. Can you bring me some water? And Dad says, no. You had your chance. You had the opportunity to drink and get and be satisfied. No water. 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, and again he asks, Dad, I'm thirsty. Can you bring me some water? No, I'm not bringing you any water, the dad says. And this goes on for about 30 or 40 minutes. You know how children are. They like to drag things out. So finally, he asks again, Dad, I'm thirsty. Can you bring me some water? And he says, no, I'm not bringing you any water. It's late. If you ask again, I'm going to spank you. So about 5 minutes later, the boy shouts out, Dad, when you come to spank me, can you please bring some water? Last week, we learned that our church fathers have designed the church calendar in such a way that prior to Lent, which begins next Sunday for us, prior to Lent, the two Sundays before that, we learn about the bread of life, which was last week, and today we learn about the living water, and how man cannot survive without bread or water. Likewise, spiritually, especially during Lent, we cannot survive without Christ. In today's gospel reading, Christ says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Christ says all of this on the final day of a huge feast in the Jewish calendar, the Feast of Tabernacles, which usually happens at the end of September, the beginning of October, depending on the year. And the multitudes are gathered around Christ, and they're listening to this man whom they say has never preached like this before. They've never heard anything like this, and all these people are thirsty. And we have to remember that water in the ancient times was not like we have water today. Today, all we have to do is open a faucet and water comes out. And if it doesn't come out, we have people called plumbers that we call, and they come, and they fix it. And we have water in bottles and stores, and as I said, every type of water you can imagine. We have mountain water, water from Fiji, even, they say. I don't know about that. But water from Fiji, and they have alkaline water, and they have flavored water. They have every type of water imaginable, any store you go into. But in the ancient world, water was very, very scarce. It was very precious. Even up until 100 years ago, water was rare. This is why civilizations are built upon streams of water. Almost, and this is an interesting fact as a side note, all of the state capitals in the United States are built on bodies of water, whether it be a river, a lake, or an ocean, with the exception of one, and that's Tallahassee in Florida. And I'll explain to you later on why it's not important now. But every major city is built upon a waterway. And so, it is so rare to have water. And in the ancient world, also, water was very dirty. It's not like today, 100,000 times filter that we have. We have all these filtering systems. And as a result, if you drank the wrong water, you could get very sick, and you could even die from it. This is why in the ancient world, most of the people drank wine and beer and other alcoholic beverages, because it was processed already. It was cleaner than regular water. But Christ in the ancient times and in this time says that he will give that water which gives life. And he emphasizes this water for a specific reason. The Jews who are listening, remember, it is water that wiped them out. It is water that wiped out humanity with Noah's Ark. And now Christ is saying that very element that I used to destroy the world, I am now going to use to save the world. And we see this especially in baptism. that very instrument will be the thing that saves all of humanity. We are all called, as I said in last week's sermon, to share the things that God has given us. Last week, we were called to share the bread that he has given us, the bread of life. It's not just something we should eat and keep to ourselves, but bread we share with others. Likewise, in today's gospel, the living water that he gives us, that we drink from, we are supposed to give to others too. He says, those who drink from this water, rivers of living water will flow from their bellies. And in the Jewish tradition, and I said, I don't know today if it's true or not, but in the ancient world for the Jews, each organ housed a specific feeling. For the Jews, in the heart is where intellect was. This is why in the Psalms sometimes you read and it says, the thoughts of my heart say this. This idea that our thoughts reside and start in our heart. They also believed that in the kidneys and in the belly were our deepest, most precious emotions. And so when Christ says, if you accept me, if you drink my water, I will change those feelings, those emotions that you have to something that's living, something that's better. We all have emotions. And we have emotions such as rejection, hatred, enmity, and loneliness, for example. And we keep them bottled inside and we don't want to show this to anybody. But those very emotions are deadly. Those very emotions will kill us from within. And Christ says, if you drink my water, I will change those emotions. They will no longer be deadly, but I will give you emotions that are living and life-giving. And from you, that water will flow forward and others will be able to drink from it. A couple of years ago, in 2015, for the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, all of us went down to Austin and we went to show the Texas government that we want the genocide recognized. And we stood in front of Austin's, the Capitol building, the state Capitol building for Texas. And we stood there, and there were many, many of us, but there was a small group off to the side of Turks that were protesting, us protesting. And they didn't want us to have our voices heard. Now, someone from our group took a big case of water because he could see that they were thirsty and there was no water around. And he took this case of water and he brought it to them and he shared the water with them. And they began to drink the water. I don't know if they changed what they felt or what they thought or their innermost emotions had changed. But what is important is that we learn from that example to share the living water. We could have kept that anger and hatred in us, which is deadly, and could have hurt other people, but rather we shared that water, we gave it to them, and we gave them life again. Even our enemies we give life to, because Christ says, love your enemies. It's a hard pill to swallow for the Armenians, because we have many of them. We have many our enemies. But he says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. So as we embark in 1 week's time for this spiritual journey called Lent, I ask that as we fast from food and we hunger for food, we also remember that our bread and our water that we will drink, we will eat and we will drink, is not from the world, it's not from the store down the street, but it's from Christ who gives us everything. And that our heavenly bread and the life-giving water that we are given must be shared with others, with every single person, our enemy or our friend that we come in contact with. Amen.